Well, would you like to know why he was not an RA? Well, never mind. I think primarily... Yeah, God's ways are higher than mine, amen. Well, it's good to be with you, and what a difference a day makes. We got in here on Thursday evening. My wife began to feel a little bit ill Friday, and so we called back home to try to get a test here. Things are a little bit different here in Washington than they are in Oklahoma. You have to go through a whole process to get tested. And so we finally got a hold of someone toward the end of the afternoon. I drove over to a clinic here, sat in the parking lot for about 3.5 hours, waiting for them to come out and get it set up for us. And they were very, very sympathetic to our need. We told them a little bit about what was going on with us, and they got us in to be tested yesterday evening about 4:30. And so they said, we'll call you on Sunday with the results. Well, this morning, mid-morning, my wife gets a call from a doctor who says, you've tested positive. So that changed a whole lot of things in our summer. I can't think of a greater and a more appropriate song for the ladies to sing than to sing, Your Ways Are Higher Than Mine, because we're just going to have to trust the Lord. Amen. And my wife is hunkered down, and she's not feeling too badly yet, so hopefully... We'll not have any more severe symptoms. I guess you can hear the fireworks going off. But anyway, pray for us, pray for the group as we try to determine what God would have us to do. We're planning on continuing on with the tour unless things change. You never know from one day to the next, right? And I've heard a lot of cliches. Aren't you tired of hearing cliches? Social distancing. I hear that till I'm sick in my stomach hearing that term. The new normal. I mean, I've heard that one. That's one that I've heard quite a bit. And you know, Lord willing, we are planning on opening up in the fall, Heartland Baptist Bible College here in Oklahoma City. We're trying to walk through that process, develop a policy, so when the students come in August, we'll be ready for them to make sure that we're protecting them as much as possible. But even with all of the protection that you have, right, and I'm looking around the room here, with all the protection, all of that is still in God's hands.
Yeah, right.
And
yeah.
He still is God. And I like to tell people all the time, you know, that none of this caught God off guard.
Amen.
None of it did. I mean, he wasn't sitting in heaven wringing his hands wondering what he's going to do. All of this is a part of God's design and part of God's plan.
Amen.
And we're just going to trust him. So,
yep.
Well, we're going to take your Bible tonight and turn, or this morning, actually. This is being recorded for Sunday morning, so forgive me for that little slip up. We're not going to go back and re-record this. Even when the dog walked into the room a while ago, that dog is that big as a horse, you know, walking into the room here. It was hilarious. We had a great time with that. But so anyway, for our message today, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter number 4. Joshua chapter number 4. And I'm going to read the first 9 verses and give you a little background about this passage of Scripture. And I've titled the message, What Mean Ye By These Stones? You'll see in one of the verses here in just a moment, in verse number 6, that question is asked. And we want to try to answer that question from the context of the passage tonight. Joshua chapter number 4, verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe a man, and command ye them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones. And ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place, where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God in the midst of Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what mean ye by these stones? Then he shall answer them, that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan. The waters of Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest which bare the ark of the covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. And again, I've titled the message tonight, what mean ye by these stones? Let's open with the word of prayer. Father, thank you tonight for the opportunity that we have to meet together here at Bellingham Baptist Church. And Lord, I just pray that you'd show yourself evident, even though we're not able to meet together in the church building. Lord, you know the need that's there. And God, there may be someone that's listening tonight to the singing, today to the message, that need Jesus Christ. So please, Lord, speak to hearts as your Spirit moves. So bless now our time together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's go back about 800 years before Jesus was born in Bethlehem. A father and his son are walking along the banks of the Jordan River near a place called Gilgal. As they walk along, the young boy sees a pile of stones. I thought about bringing in some rocks and setting them up here tonight, but or this morning, whatever we are in. I'm just going to say tonight, okay? Because it's nighttime right now. But anyway, so they're walking along and they see some stones that are set together, 12 stones, and it's obvious that they aren't just random stones that have been washed there by a flood. It's obvious that they have been placed there by someone. And another thing that is obvious, they aren't just regular rocks. They are rocks from the riverbed. You can tell by the way that they're smooth, and they're set up there purposefully. You can tell the little boy sees this pile of stones, and he looks at his father and says to him, Father, what do these stones mean? And the father says, son, let's sit down here for a moment and let me tell you this story. And he goes back and he recounts to his son the events that we just read about here in Joshua chapter number 4. Now, perhaps we've not given it a lot of thought, but the Word of God is a book of memorials. Let me give you some examples. If you go back in your Bible reading and read through Exodus chapter 12 and chapter number 13, you would read about the events of the Passover, where God told the children of Israel to apply the blood over the door and on each doorpost. And that night, the death angel passed over all of the homes where the blood was applied. So God told the children of Israel, you will make this a memorial. This will be something that you will do year after year. So there's the Passover memorial. Baptism is a memorial. Yeah. Every time somebody submits themselves to baptism, they are buried. And here's the terms that we use: in the likeness of Christ's death, his burial, and his resurrection. So it's a memorial. When we meet together as a local church to observe the Lord's Supper, Jesus said to his church, as oft as you do this, do it what? In remembrance of me. So it is a memorial. So the Bible is a book of memorials, isn't it? We in our nation, and this is kind of a hotbed right now in our nation, just looking at what is happening. Today is Independence Day, which a day that we celebrate our independence as a nation.
Right.
We have, as a nation, have memorials. I've been to Washington, D.C., and I've seen the Vietnam Memorial. I've seen Iwo Jima Memorial. We have all kinds of memorials in our nation today. Many of them have been subject of all kinds of abuse. Amen?
Yeah.
That's happened in our nation. Who would have ever thought that they'd be tearing down memorials in our nation?
Yeah.
Veterans Day is a day set aside to remember those who have died. Last year, someone sent me a picture, and it last June the 6th, 1944, last year was the 75th anniversary of the invasion, D-Day invasion. And someone sent me a picture of that was taken from an inside of a landing craft. And you can see the men wading in the water. You can see the smoke from the battle. And someone superimposed a picture of a athlete bowing for the national anthem. And my thinking is this: that picture shows soldiers wading toward the beach of Omaha Beach, and within seconds after that picture was taken, their lives were snuffed out.
Yeah.
And the reason why that athlete could kneel for the national anthem is a result of those men that gave themselves for him to do that.
Yeah.
Memorial Day. In Oklahoma City, we have the Murrow Building Memorial on April the 19th, 1995. This year was to have been the 25th or 20th anniversary, something along that line, whatever year we're in. Anniversary of that, and because of the COVID, we weren't able to have that celebration. April the 19th, the Murrow Building. September 11th, 2001. Many of you would remember that. And last summer, we traveled with the trio, and we got to see the Freedom Tower there in New York City. All of those things represent memorials to someone who paid a price. So God tells the children of Israel here in the book of Joshua chapter number 4 that they were to set up a memorial, stones that would represent an event in the lives of the children of Israel. And it was designed to remind everyone that passed by that particular spot, every one of them, that God did something wonderful for the children of Israel right there at that spot. So what was the purpose? Why did God have the children of Israel take 12 stones out of the midst of the river and put them on the shore and as a memorial? What was the purpose for that memorial? Let me give you these things that I think would tell us what the purpose was. Number one, to shake their memory. Let me say that again. To shake their memory. To help them to remember. Now, I don't know about you, but I forget things. One guy said it this way: I don't have Alzheimer's, I have sometimers. Another guy says, I have a photographic memory. It's just that the memory card is filled up. Years ago, they advertised an herb, a natural herb to help you with your memory, and I can't remember what it was called. Amen. You know, so, but we tend to forget, don't we? And in fact, God told the children of Israel that you might forget me. Deuteronomy 6:12. Here's what he says: that then beware lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house a bondage. Do you know what God is telling the children of Israel?
Yeah.
He's telling them, you need to beware that you don't forget what I've done. So that heap of stones that God told the children of Israel to take out of the midst of the Jordan River and set them on the bank, it was designed to be a reminder of who God was. Sometimes you and I forget God. I think it's so critical for us to understand, even at this time in our lives, as we've gone through this COVID thing, why do we tend to forget God? Let me give you some reasons why I think we forget God. Number one, we forget God when we get in a hurry. You ever been in a hurry? I go back and I read through the book of Genesis and chapter number 15 and 16. And if you were to go back to chapter 12 of Genesis, God told Abraham, he said, listen, I'm of your seed. I'm going to make a great nation that through your seed, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. Do you know how we're blessed tonight? Because of what Jesus did for us on the cross of Calvary. So then in Genesis chapter 15, God again confirms with Abraham the promise that he made to him back in chapter number 12. He confirms it. He reconfirms it. And he says, listen, I'm still in charge. I'm still going to make your seed as the sands of the sea. He said, I want to remind you, Abram, that I'm still there and I still have made the promises. And then we get to chapter 16. Abram and Sarah forgot about God's promise. In fact, Sarah convinced her husband that God had forgotten them and forgotten the promises that he had made to her husband. So what happened? They got in a hurry. And they determined that they were not going to wait on God to fulfill his promise. And listen, I'm not going to go into all the details of it, but our world is on the receiving end of Sarah and Abram forgetting about God's promise. That's where we're at as a world today. So listen, let me help you with something. Don't get ahead of God. Yeah. You don't know where he's going.
Yeah.
And if you're ahead of him, you're not going to be able to follow him. So we tend to forget God when we get in a hurry. Number two, I think sometimes we tend to forget God when we get comfortable. The Bible says in the book of Hosea, chapter 13, verse number 1, it says, according to their pasture, so were they filled. They were filled and their heart was exalted. And then he adds this, therefore have they forgotten me. We can tend to forget God sometimes when we get comfortable. You know what I mean by that? We get to where we don't think we need God. When the children of Israel arrived in the land of Canaan, they had all of that they needed because God had promised to supply their need. And as a result of their abundance, they forgot God. On the other hand, another thing that we tend to do is the opposite is true. Not only do we forget God when we get comfortable, but I think sometimes we forget God when we get uncomfortable. Would you say the last 3 or 4 months, however long it's been since March, there have been some times when things were a little bit uncomfortable in our lives? Maybe you lost your job. Maybe you got the illness. And you got uncomfortable. You know what I think? And this doesn't make sense, but I know because I've been there and I've done that and I've got the scars to prove it. Sometimes when I've gotten uncomfortable, I think that God has forgotten me.
Wow.
But I want to remind you, he says, I will never leave thee,
yeah, amen,
nor forsake thee. No, it doesn't matter if you're in a COVID, a pandemic, or whatever it is that we're going through. Listen, God is still there. And he said, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee. So we need to be reminded that God is in charge and we need to allow him to work. So God had them set up the stones, number one, to shake their memory. Number two, to share their faith. And the phrase that's there in verse number 6, He says, so that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, what mean ye by these stones? I mean, what a great opportunity for a father to sit down with his son or his daughter and tell them about what God has done. Isn't that a great opportunity? You know, as parents, I'm a parent. I've got three adult children. I've got seven grandkids. And I tell people all the time, Brother Josh, if I'd have known being a grandpa is this much fun, I'd have done it first. Amen. I mean, I love being a papa. I just love it when my grandkids call me papa and sit in my lap and go fishing with me and all that kind of stuff. I mean, what a great opportunity. Listen, parents, you have an opportunity to share your faith with your children. We are required, we are commanded, if I would use that phrase, to instruct our children on the things that God has done for us.
Yeah,
of all the attitudes, listen, of all the attitudes that a parent can adopt, the worst attitude in the world that a Christian parent could ever have is to say this: well, I'm not going to force religion on my children.
Yeah.
I'll let them make up their own minds when they're old enough. That's the worst attitude that a parent can have.
Yeah.
Because in the meantime, here's what's happening in our society. Educational institutions, worldly entertainment, and peer pressure shape the minds and hearts of our children, especially during those impressionable years.
Yeah.
So we have an obligation, parents, to share our faith. Now, I have three children. Two of them full-time ministry. One of them is a faithful church member. We never sat down with our kids and told my two sons, hey, listen, you're going to be a preacher when you grow up. I wanted God to call them. I didn't want to call them. I wanted God to speak to their hearts.
Yeah.
And I'm grateful to God today that all of my children are serving the Lord. And I pray for them every day that God would use them in a mighty way. So God allowed them to build that memorial to help them, their parents, to share their faith. Number three, it also was to help them to shape their worship. Now, if you've got your Bibles open still, I want you to look at verse 24 of Joshua chapter number 4. Verse 24 of Joshua chapter 4. All right, so thus far we've looked at number one, to shape their memory. Number two, to share their faith. And then number three, to shape their worship. Look at verse 24. He says that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord. That it is what? What's the next word? That it is mighty. That ye might fear the Lord your God forever. The word fear here carries this thought of an awe, of a reverential respect. Not necessarily to be afraid of God, but to understand who God is. I think as believers today, we've forgotten who God is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Am I right?
Yeah.
I think there are times when you and I, we forget who God is. When we're going through those hard times, and I've already mentioned some of that, if we're going through trials and afflictions in our life, you know, it's very, very easy to get negative about that and forget that God is still God and that He still sits on His throne.
Amen.
To shape their worship. To help them to understand, listen, you're not dealing with just a little g God.
Yeah, yeah.
You're dealing with a creator of the universe. You're dealing with the God that deserves our worship. Worship. We're going through a series at our church there in Oklahoma City on worship. And worship is just simply this: acknowledging that someone is worthy of our praise.
Yeah.
And God is worthy of our praise.
Amen.
Number four, He also helped them, had them set up these stones to shatter their past. Now, look at verse number 9. I love this. Look at verse 9. And Joshua, listen, set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priest, which bear the ark of the covenant, stood, and they are there unto this day. All right, so I need you to understand this. All right, so he had 12 stones that were taken out of the midst of the river and set on the other side, on the west side of the Jordan River, right? 12 stones. Then he had those same 12 men go back out in the midst of the Jordan where the priests were standing and set up another memorial in the midst of the Jordan River. All right, sir, are you getting this picture in your mind? So you got 12 on the bank, that's what I call it, on the bank of the River Jordan. And then you've got 12 stones set up in the midst of the river. All right. So if you go on and you read, and I'm not going to take the time to do it, but when the ark and the priest finally came up out of the midst of the Jordan River, the river once again began to flow and cover the rocks that were in the middle of the river. All right, everybody getting this?
Yeah.
All right, so you had 12 on the bank, 12 in the midst. The priest and the Ark of the Covenant come up out of the bottom of the river bank, the bottom of the Jordan River, and then the waters of Jordan begin to flow against. Now you're thinking, wow, and what a silly thing to do. Those rocks in the middle of the river, no one will ever see those rocks because they're covered by the water. Probably, I don't know this, but you got to know that the Jordan River was in flood stage at that particular time. Probably when that water began to flow, have you ever seen the power of water as it flows? I mean, it can do a lot of damage. Perhaps even those 12 stones that were in the midst of the river that were set up, they might have even got washed away. I don't know this. The Bible does tell us that they are there unto this day.
Yeah.
Now, they may not be standing in that heap that they set them in, but they were covered by the water. Now, it's interesting because when they came across Jordan River, they got to a place called Gilgal. Gilgal, significant name. Look over in chapter 5, and I want to show you verse number 9. Oh, this is good right here. Chapter 5 of Joshua, verse 9. And the Lord said unto Joshua, this day have I rolled away the reproach of Egypt from you. Wherefore the name of the place of the place is called Gilgal unto this day. The name Gilgal means rolled away. That's what it means. You say, well, what's the significance of that? Well, God is telling the children of Israel, I have rolled away the reproach that you had in the nation in Israel for 40 years. I've rolled all of that away. You know what I think of when I hear that term rolled away? How many of you think of that song?
Yeah,
rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. Every burden of my heart, it's what? It's rolled away. You see what God is telling the children of Israel? You need to realize something. Those stones that were in the midst of the Jordan River that were probably rolled away when that water began to flow again pictured the shattering of a past.
Wow.
That God is saying to this, oh, you got to get this. I'm rolling away the reproach of 40 years of you wandering in the wilderness. I'm giving you this land that I promised to your fathers. And the reason why you didn't get it immediately is because you determined that you weren't going to follow me. So you made all those laps around Mount Sinai. But I want you to know that now I have rolled away that reproach.
Man.
Did you know there was another stone that pictured a new beginning? In Luke chapter 24. There was a stone that was rolled away. Not because Jesus needed to get out.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, you understand that? It's not because Jesus needed that stone rolled away to get out. Listen, he walked right through the walls of that tomb. Hey, listen, we need to understand this. God rolled away the reproach of our sin when Jesus came up out of that grave.
Man.
Those women that came to the tomb found that stone rolled away. Why was it rolled away? Well, not because Jesus needed to get out. But it was a significance for them to understand that the past was rolled away. It was the start of a new beginning.
Yeah.
So here's some questions I want to ask, and I'm done. Have you built some memorials in your life? Maybe some shame, maybe some failure, maybe even some regrets in your life. Have you built some memorials to those things in your life? Maybe it's a memorial of this. Oh, I can do it my own way. I can get to heaven my own way. Can I help you tonight? You won't get there your own way.
Yeah.
There's only one way.
Yes,
and that is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And when Jesus, that stone was rolled away in Luke chapter 24, when that stone was rolled away, God, here's what Jesus did. He made salvation available to every one of us today. So, questions. Do you know Jesus?
Yeah.
As your Savior? I can't assume that everybody's listening to the music tonight. Didn't the ladies do a wonderful job singing? I loved it. It's great. Appreciate them very, very much. But you know what? It's more than music. It's the idea that God loved you enough to send His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary. Do you know Him? I hope you do.
Amen.
Has He rolled your sin away? If not, can I ask you, wherever you're listening, wherever you are listening to this, would you bow your head and trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? And if it's somebody that's not even a member at Bellingham Baptist, you just tuned in, can I encourage you to do this? If you do that, would you call Pastor Carter and let him know that you've trusted Christ as your personal Savior? God allowed the children of Israel to set up a memorial. So that every time those children walk by and they ask their fathers, "What mean ye by these stones?" they were able to tell them, "Here's what God did for us. And here's what God can do for you." Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father, thank you today for the opportunity to bring the Word of God to these folks tonight. And I just pray for them that your will be done in their lives. If there be one here that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior, God, speak to them. Help them to see their need for a Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.